Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Are you going to be watching Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight to see what happens?
I certainly am, Sean.
With Chris
Paul? You know, I've become a Suns hater just over the course of the last 48 hours, really. And honestly, I was listening to Damon Amendolara on our show before our show began, or on our station before our show began.
Yeah.
And Damon Amendolara was appropriately and accurately torching the Phoenix fan base for acting like their little counting during the Giannis free throws or something is some kind of an valid intimidation or scare tactic.
Yeah.
Watching that one clown whip off the dollar bills or whatever as he's doing it. It's disgusting. I'm sick of it.
Okay.
I'm tired of it. I need the Suns. Now, kudos and proper credit to that guy that beat down the opposing fan earlier in this year, earlier in the playoffs, but otherwise I'm out on the Suns.
You're talking about Suns in four guy, the guy that was basically holding a Nuggets fan by the scruff of his collar, looking up at all the other Nuggets fans and going Suns in four, and then continuing to waylay the guy. That's the guy you're talking about?
I like that. I like that guy, but the rest of the fan base can go die. You know what? You haven't suffered enough. Not yet. I know. You're gonna say like Suns have been trash for a long time. Not yet.
Well, most of the people probably aren't even from Phoenix. You know what I mean? Like, and when I say not from Phoenix, I mean they probably moved there in the last 3 years. Isn't it a really transient city, Phoenix, with a lot of old people and a lot of people kind of just passing through?
I guess sometimes I'm careful when I'm, throwing stones from a glass house and whatnot. But I think that maybe more so than ever, because for a while there in Phoenix, you could buy a flat-out mansion for like $37.
Yeah,
I remember, like, in the depths of the recession, once a week I would call Brandy and to look at my computer and be like, "Look, it's got three swimming pools. It's got seven bedrooms. The entire house is made out of marble, and you can buy it for three chickens. It's crazy. The real estate boom was so, like, the real estate recession was so bad out
there.
So I'm guessing a lot of people have swooped in and bought up a lot of those foreclosures.
Probably so. You know what I respect about Suns in four guy is he actually capitalized on his 15 minutes of fame. He was on Cameo. You could pay like $100.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he created a Cameo account. I would be curious how many Suns fans had Suns in four guy do a Cameo for their a relative or a friend who's a fan of the Suns. He was on Cameo. If I remember correctly, he hosted like a watch party somewhere, like Suns in Four guy hosting a watch party at some bar in Phoenix, and probably got paid some sort of appearance fee. Now, probably wasn't $50,000 or anything like that.
That's a smart guy, but I'm wondering, like, I wouldn't go to that party unless I knew there's a whole lot of security there. Feels like that party might attract a certain element of like just bros that want to get in fights at sporting events, which is a scary. Those are people that just DGAF, man. Those are the people that want to get in fights at sporting events. They got nothing to lose. Like, they're not worried about it showing up on social media. They're not worried about being banned for the rest of their lives. Like, you gotta be careful around those folks.
I was surprised that there was a point after that dude was in, and for those who don't know what we're talking about, there was a viral video of a Suns fan back during the Denver series, which feels like it was 8 months ago, but I think it was the conference semifinals. And a Suns fan got into it with a couple Nugget fans and wound up beating the ever-loving crap out of a Nuggets fan. And in the middle of while beating the crap out of him, kind of just held the guy, looked up at everybody and said, Suns in four, and then continued to pummel the guy.
He looked at his buddy. He looked at
the Denver guy's buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, he was beating the Denver guy, and he looked at his other buddy.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the two guys from Denver looked like world-class D-bags.
Right.
So, like, they honestly, like, I'm not, like, I don't advocate. I'm past the age of wanting people to get in fistfights anywhere ever. You know, the damage can be done. These two kids kind of look like they deserved it.
One of them looked like he started it. But here's the thing that I found interesting was Devin Booker at one point posted a picture of Suns in four guy and said, hey, does anybody know how I can get in touch with this guy to get him tickets? And I'm like, I don't know if the Suns of the NBA are really wanting one of their star players to incentivize pummeling people. Like he's a hero. It's not like a guy just got back from Afghanistan or something like that. You know what I mean?
I remember when we won, when we beat the Dolphins in 2003 in Miami, it was the season opener. And it was ridiculously hot out. And I can remember, I don't know what it was about it. Maybe it was just the heat. I remember at various times during that game looking up in the stands and just seeing melees. Like, just like, wow, that is a fun. To the point where it was almost distracting. One of them was during a TV timeout. And I was kind of bummed out when we started playing again because there was a hell of a fight going on in the upper deck.
You were watching?
Yeah. Like, oh, man, I got to play football now. But I remember reading the papers the next day to see if they would say anything about it. And like, of course, social media wasn't a thing back then. And for the most part, the TV broadcast and everybody tries to downplay it because they don't want to encourage it.
Have you ever gotten into a fight or close to getting into a fight at a sporting event?
I tried to go into
and
the
I don't
stands,
mean as I don't mean as a player getting into a fight on the field. I mean,
I wanted
the
to go into the stands against Seattle. Yeah. I tried to get a guy to come down out of the stands as we were leaving, and we just gotten pummeled on Sunday Night Football. And this guy was still talking smack as we were leaving the field, and I was like, I was insulted by the idea of it. Like, all right, come on, we lost this game in the first quarter, right. You son of a bitch. Like, go home to your children, you piece of crap. And but no, like a fight at. Never.
Yeah.
Because by the time I got to drinking age, I was already a pretty big guy. So whenever I was like overly obnoxious at a game, which I have, I've got some memories of times at games where I was kind of overly obnoxious.
Yeah.
Nobody really challenged me on it. I feel now I'm feeling deep embarrassment as I'm even thinking back on it.
Why are you embarrassed?
You think about things nobody needs to be that guy at a sporting event.
Oh, like I got
overly
you.
Loud,
I got you.
Taunting drunk guy.
Right, yeah. Right.
Especially these kids deserved it. They're from Canandaigua. Let me tell you something about Canandaigua football, Sean. A little too cocky for their own good back in the day.
Okay.
And it come back to bit them in the ass now. Victor's just thoroughly dominated Canandaigua for the last 20 years. And if you're listening, any of my old friends or opponents or from Canandaigua, you got what was coming to you, okay?
Seth, I think I speak for the millions and millions of people listening right now. Where the hell is Canandaigua? What is that?
Canandaigua, Sean, Canandaigua is the town next to ours, and there are fierce, fierce rivals, Sean, who we never actually beat in football. And I went on to play. One of my college teammates was a kid, Steve Joyce. Steve Joyce was the quarterback for Canandaigua. And when I told him once about us being his rivals, it was complete news to him. He's like, you're not our rivals.
Those are my favorite
rivals.
Rivalries.
Our rivals are the best teams in the state.
Right.
You guys have never beat us. You guys celebrated when you tied a game in 1984. You're not our rivals. But then we got a new coach within those couple years, like actually while I was at Cornell. And now you can't even mention Canandaigua in the same breath as Victor Central High School. But a bunch of posers there in Canandaigua.
713-572-4610. Take that, Canandaigua. Take that.
Yeah.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Did we get the clearest indicator yet that Deshaun Watson is playing in 2021? That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so yesterday on Twitter, there was a fella named Damian L421. I don't think that's his real name. I don't think his parents were holding him in the hospital and said, we're going to name him Damian L421. Now, I think they probably did name him Damian. However, he tweeted yesterday, yo, at Deshaun Watson, you playing this season? I've had you as my fantasy quarterback since 2017. Like this tweet, if you play him this year, don't want to waste a pick. And Deshaun Watson liked the tweet. He liked the tweet. So it's one of three things with Deshaun. Deshaun Watson, by liking this tweet, Deshaun Watson is either hyper-optimistic, bordering on delusional, one. Two, he knows something that maybe we don't know. Or three, he's just really mean and he wants to pull this guy in front of an oncoming fantasy football train. Like, yeah, I'll tell the guy that I'm playing. I have no idea. But cool, draft me. Seth, what do you think the most likely option is? Is Deshaun Watson a cockeyed optimist? Does he know something, or is he a really mean person?
I think he's a cockeyed optimist.
Okay.
Regardless of whether he's innocent, whether he believes he's innocent, whether he's guilty as guilty could be, whatever, wherever he is on that spectrum, I think this is just too complex a case for him to really have an idea about it at this point. And especially since, as far as we know, the NFL hasn't even interviewed Deshaun Watson yet. So we don't know what the NFL knows after having interviewed people with the case or kind of learning their information, getting their information. And I don't think Deshaun knows what the NFL knows. So, and this is where the other thing is, it's completely unprecedented. The sheer number of allegations and number of actual lawsuits isn't anything we've ever seen. It's 22. And, you know, one of our listeners earlier, you and I were kind of having a miscommunication more than anything. We were trying to, because he said, well, you guys sound like you're saying he's guilty and right. You haven't not even given him any benefit of the doubt. Regardless, without even talking about the specifics of the case, there's 22 cases and each one of them are individual. Each one of them, for the case to be resolved, means that individual plaintiff has to decide that they are going to settle or they are going to drop charges. That brings so much complexity to the issue. And then you add on to it the fact that the Harris County legal system is backed way up. It was already backed up because of Harvey. And then the coronavirus came, and now it's ridiculously backed up. It just creates this incredibly big quagmire at a time when the NFL is trying to be very careful from a PR front, and rightfully so, about anything involving any kind of violence against women. It just seems so vastly complex that nobody should feel confident that somebody's definitely going to play this year.
Yeah.
And so I think this is Deshaun just being optimistic and confident about the thing.
I'm trying to wonder what that looks like right now. Like, knowing that a timeline's already been laid out for depositions if this goes to trial, knowing that publicly, at least, both lawyers appear to be dug in, ready to go do just that, which is go to war over this thing. They've both not just intimated there won't be settlements, they've both outright said, no, there's no settlements coming in this thing anytime soon. I don't know what that looks like right now, Seth. Like the Deshaun Watson playing in 2021 would have to involve either a trade or it would have to involve him walking back into the building and playing for the Houston Texans. And it's really hard to envision either of those things occurring right now.
Yeah. You know, it's you can play both sides of this, too, when you start talking about whether he should settle or whether he shouldn't. And I have a lot of attorneys, like bright attorneys, come to me and say, Seth, look, people are always looking to settle in circumstances like this. There's no always about this case. There's nothing about this case where you can say, like, well, this is what always happens, right, or this is what attorneys are thinking or what have you. There's nothing about it, because I could play both sides of that coin. I could say, well, look, going to trial, one attorney might say, man, going to trial is it's time consuming, it's costly, and the ultimate payoff isn't going to be enough for somebody like Tony Busby. To which I might say, yeah, exactly. He's not as concerned about the actual payout. He's concerned about either A, stroking his own ego, B, seeking genuine justice if that's what he sees fit, or C, getting a whole lot of publicity. You know, like there are plenty of different motivators for Tony Busby to encourage his clients to go all the way to trial, even if it takes 2 or 3 years. So it just wouldn't surprise me if Busby is, you know, some part of him is dead set on advising his clients to go to trial. And it might be the exact opposite. It's just there's no way to know exactly how he's feeling at this point, other than that he is actively trolling Deshaun Watson by tweeting about not sexually harassing people when he gets a massage on his honeymoon right now.
Yeah, let me read that real quick, because I wanted to bounce that off you too, Seth, which is, for those who haven't seen it, Tony Busby on Instagram. He's on his honeymoon. He's been on his honeymoon for a couple of weeks now. He's in a very exotic place overseas, and his new bride had a spa day. Said, I'm not a big spa guy, and I abhor someone I don't know touching me, but I had been at the beach and had some time to kill while Frances, that's his wife, had her spa time. So at her urging, I had what they call the grounding massage here at Amenzo. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. That's the resort they're at. It was a 90-minute massage. He said, it was actually nice and relaxing. I fell asleep. But note, it was professional. I made no weird demands. I didn't grind around on the table. I never fully disrobed. I never acted like an entitled, horny teenage boy. I'm also quite sure Tina, the massage professional, didn't feel threatened, degraded, or uncomfortable in any way. Massage therapy is a legit profession made up of trained professionals trying to earn an honest living. That's how it should be. So, I mean, obviously, just a very, very clear salvo at Deshaun Watson. If you were one of the 22 plaintiffs, how would you feel about your lawyer handling his business that way? I mean, do you kind of know that going in, this is who Tony Busby is, or?
Oh, that's a good question, because there is there's part of that where it still does feel tacky in a way. Like, these are very serious allegations, and it's a very serious matter. And there are times where it feels like Busby doesn't necessarily give it the gravity that it should. But at the same time, I could see if he were my attorney, you kind of like, you want a bulldog, right? You want a guy that just flat out wants to hurt the other side.
Yes.
So I would say, same thing I say about this case all the time, is that you got to always remember it's 22 separate plaintiffs.
Yeah.
It's, I bet there's a few that are like, all right, that's enough. Like, I want this case to move along. And there might be others that are all about it.
Yeah. I think we've reached a stage at all of it where if you're still on board and you're one of the 22 plaintiffs and you haven't dropped your case, you kind of know what Tony Busby is at this point. You know, if you've held on this long, then this post on Instagram is not going to drive you over the edge and say, oh, I'm out now. He's saying these things about grinding on the table and whatnot.
Well, I mean, because that post, it's kind of, I mean, he's making a joke too, right? Like, he's taking a shot, but he's making a joke. And if you're a sexual assault victim, that's a traumatic thing in your life that you might not feel like you want your attorney joking about, or treating somewhat flippantly or in the manner that he did. But I mean, that's up to them, that's up to them and their relationship with Tony Busby.
All right, let's go to the phones. Now, Dennis is in Seabrook. Dennis called yesterday with an impassioned defense for Kahale Waring, but I think he's calling for a different reason today. Transplanted New Yorker. What's going on, Dennis?
Good morning, man. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm, I overheard you talking about, this is a real short call. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but about maybe an argument or an incident we had at a pro sports game. And I think our Astros fans are going to kick out of this. I think it was the first year that we had interleague play, and the Yankees were in town, and me and a couple of my buddies, we were there, you know, full Yankee gear, you know, with the hats, the Reggie shirts, the whole bit. We were real excited to see the Yankees here in Houston, and I believe it was the first time, or the first series. Anyhow, the Yankees were winning like 8-0, and we were going freaking nuts. We were in heaven. And all of a sudden, the Astros went absolutely crazy. And I think the final score was 9-8 Astros. But people started throwing stuff at us, throwing popcorn at us, throwing hot dogs at us. One guy threw a full freaking beer at me, which is not cheap these days. And I got kind of angry, and you know, I didn't do nothing crazy. But at that point, I wanted to, you know, exchange blows. But that was my incident with coming to an argument at a pro sporting event.
So who was, the Astros fans were throwing the hot dogs, or Yankees fans were throwing hot dogs?
No, it was here in Houston, the Astros fans, because we were going nuts. The Yankees were putting such a beating on the Astros, and we let the Astros fans know that we were damn proud of being from the Bronx and that we're giving a beating on the Astros. Anyway, when the Astros started coming back, after I think it was an 8-0 deficit, they started really hassling us, and they were throwing popcorn. One guy threw a freaking hot dog, and then another guy threw a beer at me. Thank God an usher stepped in the meantime, but I don't know if you guys remember that game, but that was a pretty exciting experience, you know?
That doesn't sound, Dennis, appreciate the phone call. It doesn't sound like Houston fans. Houston fans.
Well, especially, you know, times have changed. We're now one of the most obese cities in the country, and I don't think you could find an Astros fan that would throw a hot dog away.
A perfectly good hot dog.
I don't care if it's at that. Those things cost a dollar sometimes.
He is right. Throwing a beer is that's not a wise use of your funds, you know, to use a beer as a projectile. There's other cheaper things you can find to throw things at people at games, I would say. Or at least chug half the beer before you throw it at the
When was the first year? It was in 1997, the first year of
interleague play? Yeah, it's late 90s was the first year of interleague play.
I think it was 1997.
Okay. Are you going to look up that game? Are you going to try to find that game?
That was the year I was supposed to graduate college, and also the year they started an interleague play. But at least we got one of them accomplished.
Two momentous things.
Yes.
All right, I'll let you look that up as we roll into the next segment, which is the segment everybody's been waiting for, the latest version. I believe we're on 4.0. The Astros Circle of Trust. Seth, there are going to be hard conversations today for the Astros Circle of Trust that we're about to have. Are you ready?
Is today the day Robel Garcia makes it in? We'll find out.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll find out. No, some hard conversations on some guys who are pretty prominent guys on this team. Seth and I will go through the Houston Astros Circle of Trust next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When it comes to our favorite players, it comes down to one question. Can we trust you?
See, if I can't trust you, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle.
Who's in? Who's out? It's the Payne and Pendergast Astros Circle of Trust.
Astros win last night against the Cleveland Indians 4-3. They are back at it again tonight and tomorrow against the Indians, day off, and then three against the Rangers. So this is, I say this is a nice part of the schedule to maybe create some more space between them and the Oakland A's, although the Indians and the Rangers are teams where, of late, the Astros struggle more against teams like this, and they rise to the occasion against the really good teams, generally speaking, over the last month and a half or so. Nevertheless, you add it all up. The Astros are in first place right now by a few games in the AL West. They are on the short list of contenders to get to and win a World Series this year. Life is good if you're an Astros fan. However, when you sit down and watch the games on a night-to-night basis, pitch-to-pitch, at-bat-to-at-bat, we have to ask ourselves how much we trust each of these players in these certain situations. And that is why Seth and I have created the Houston Astros Circle of Trust. And the basic criteria is, how do you feel about this guy when he is preparing to do the job he has been hired to do? When a guy comes to the plate, what's your general feeling in your gut? When a guy gets either called in from the bullpen or runs out to the mound to start a game, what's your general feel? Do you trust them to do their job, or do you feel super skittish that bad things are going to happen? And last time, Seth, we did this was before you and I went on vacation. It was 3 weeks ago today when you and I left on vacation, and we were back yesterday. And so now we've had several more games. This was probably, in the couple of years you and I have been doing this, this was probably the last Circle of Trust that we did was probably the most players that we've ever had in the Circle of Trust. I'm counting here right now, 3, 6, 9, 12. We had 16 players in the Circle of Trust. I don't know that we've ever had more than a dozen or so before. But they're playing really good baseball, though.
Yeah, this is it was 2017 caliber Circle
yes.
of Trust.
Yeah.
It was that kind of, I mean, this year, in a lot of ways, it's almost like a double in the face to people that want to insist that the Astros were still cheating in 2019
right.
with their sign stealing and whatnot, because there's a chance that they could end up comparable in a lot of ways, you know, this current slump notwithstanding, to that 2019 offense.
Yeah, and they are in a slump right now offensively. There's no doubt about it. They have not been good offensively in the month of July. For the overall season, they're still among the best teams in baseball offensively, but it's not been a fun month. Even last night, I mean, they won the game last night, but it's not like they were, you know, knocking the Indians around. The Indians are starting three young pitchers in this series. We really need to see the bats start to come back. So let's start with the hardest conversations here, Seth, about the Circle of Trust. We'll look at the guys who are in it as of the last time you and I did this. I'll just start it off with the bombshell right here. Where are we at with Carlos Correa right now?
Carlos Correa, like by
0,
virtue...
0 for his last 26, I think I saw on Twitter. I don't know.
I saw 0 for 33 from the Chronicle this morning, but
okay.
Who knows. So 0 for. He's got Bregman's rookie debut levels of offense right now.
Yeah.
But much like Bregman in his rookie debut, he's making up for it on defense. And I think in any given evening, Carlos Correa is likely to make one, possibly two, breathtaking plays that have almost become routine for Carlos Correa. I think he's still giving you smart at-bats, even if he's not giving you actual production. And that sounds like I'm bending over backwards to make a case for Carlos Correa. But the sum total of what he's done this year so far, including what he continues to do on offense, keeps him in the circle of trust.
Yeah,
what he continues to do on defense keeps him in the circle of trust.
There are certain guys that I'm going to give more leeway to in keeping in the circle of trust. When I evaluate my headspace when they step in the batter's box. And even though Carlos Correa has not looked good hitting the baseball lately, it's, I mean, you know, 25, 30 at bats is, you know, it's a week. You know, I'm not. I'm like,
got, right, right. And it was, now the thing that's different with him, though, it's more than a week because it spans pre-All-Star break, pre-illness, COVID illness. Not a COVID illness. Hey, everybody, brace yourselves. Carlos Correa had like a normal run-of-the-mill virus.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It was. It's kind of refreshing almost to hear like, oh yeah, the old 3-day flu that came back. It was nothing but COVID for a whole year. So now it's kind of it's a breath of fresh air when somebody gets actually legitimately sick with something else.
Kind of psyched that he had the sniffles. Basically.
Look, yeah, he's still got an .863 OPS on the season. He's still batting .276 right now. It's he's just in the middle of a rough stretch. Yeah. So, he's still firmly in the circle of trust.
Firmly in the circle of trust, Carlos Correa. I'm going to keep him in there, too. I don't know if I'm as firm as you are having him in there, but you're either in or you're out, and I'm with you. Carlos Correa remains in the circle of trust. I'm curious what the people feel about that. The other one, Seth, again, another hard conversation for a guy who was an all-star for this team, but Jose Altuve's batting average is down to .272.
Mm.
I would be curious when the last time this late in the season, not including last year, like 2020, I think any sort of stat like, boy, the last time ... we take 2020 and we throw it out the window because it was a weird shortened season. I'm curious when the last time in a 162-game season, when was the last time Jose Altuve's batting average this deep into the season was as low as .272? This is a guy who his batting averages the years before COVID last year, .298, .316, .346, .336, .313, .341. He's never finished a season below .276, and that was his rookie year. This, now he's still hitting for power, obviously, and he's still getting big hits, the walk-off against the Yankees being the most notable. But he's not been efficient nor overall productive of late, Jose Altuve. Where are we at with him on this circle of trust?
It's interesting because I hate to rely on OPS, but I don't give a damn about batting averages anymore. What are you saying? That he's never been he's never been what this late in the season?
Well, no, I'm curious. I didn't declare anything. I was curious I was curious if in a 162 game season that this late into the season, we're almost the end of July and he's hitting has he been hitting .272 for the season this late into a season?
In 2013, he finished at .283 batting average.
Okay.
You know, with a .678
OPS. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long time. He played 152 games that year.
Right.
But he's still a pretty good baseball player that year.
Yeah.
That was the one year that he made the All-Star game in 2012, kind of as like the required one team gets a player.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2013, he wasn't the required one team gets a player guy.
Yeah.
And then 2014 was when he really took off and he finished with the batting .341.
Do you remember? Do you remember who their all star was in 2013? Jason Castro.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Jason Castro.
Getting old is new again. So yeah, he won the batting title in 2014. That was his first batting title.
Yep.
So I'm not. Altuve as close to permanently in the circle of trust as possible. Because I think I took him out with or flirted with taking him out before, and that was right when he went on a tear. I'm not superstitious enough to think that it was the circle of trust.
Yeah.
I don't think that it was the risk of losing his circle of trust designation that shocked him back into it. I think he'll be just fine.
Okay, I'm with you on that. I'm a little nervous about Altuve, but he's still in circle of trust for me. Yuli, still some of these guys we don't need to spend a lot of time on. Yuli, still in. Yordan, still in. Stop me when I get to somebody who you think we should debate.
Just the one thing real quick about Altuve.
Yeah.
Since I was saying I'd prefer OPS over batting average if we're just going like with the conventional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, he's got a better OPS this year than when he won the batting title in 2014.
Interesting. Okay.
He's a better modern baseball player this year than the year in which he won the batting title,
he was much more of a
contact guy. Yeah, he's just got more power these
20
days.
Home run. Would you rather have Jose Altuve hitting 20 home runs but with a .272 batting average or potentially winning the batting title? 713-572-4610. All right, stop me if I get to a name you think we should debate. I mentioned Yuli. I mentioned Jordan. Uncle Mike, he's in. Kyle Tucker. Machete.
Maldonado, just we should explain to people who are new to this. With catchers and with Maldonado specifically, we don't worry about batting average one bit. Maldonado, Sean Pendergast once said, would have to have a negative batting average before he wasn't in the circle of trust.
Correct.
Unless all of a sudden he stopped being a trustworthy catcher and a trustworthy team spokesperson.
Yeah.
I think he does a brilliant job of explaining the game afterwards. I think he's destined to be a manager someday if that's what he wants to do. Or maybe he just wants to sit around and dye his hair different colors all day. Whatever he does, I will support him in
it
that.
It cemented it for me that he's going to be a manager someday when he converted that double play in the Sunday game against the White Sox where the two guys were standing on third.
He ran the base runner out to left field.
And he knew to tag the guy that was standing on the base first because that guy didn't have a right to the base. And then he tagged the dude who was just sort of wandering around. If he had done it in the reverse order, that guy would have been allowed to stay on third base. He knew what order to tag them in. That's where I go, that guy's going to be a manager someday.
I'm going to give Callis a shout out on that one too, because Callis, as I remember it, knew exactly what was happening immediately and why it was a double play.
Yep.
Which you might say, like, hey, that's his job. Let me tell you something. Because I try to seek out different perspectives on these things. I'll watch other broadcasts during the game. I got a little ExpressVPN deal there. So I'll watch other broadcasts during the game just to try to get a different perspective. I'm kind of astounded at how bad some of the local broadcast crews are.
Yeah, we're lucky.
And from some of the bigger markets, too. Like, Callis and Blum are really, really good. Even if maybe you don't like one of them individually for whatever reason, he rubs you the wrong way, I encourage you to just go sample a little bit and see that they're totally in that top, at the very least, 10% of broadcast crews.
And I like...
Because I've seen those situations like that with other broadcast crews, and it's a whole lot of like, bro, They sound like Seth Payne out there trying to dissect baseball.
I like that we get a little dab of Bagwell every now and then, too. Just a little dollop of Bagwell every now and again. I like that.
Bagwell predicted that wild pitch this weekend.
Yep. He's good.
Which people were going crazy over. People did point out, Bagwell also predicted like 9 other things too that didn't come true.
But he
did get that he got the wild pitch right, and when all you see is the clip right there, it makes it seem like this guy's a fortune teller.
Callis called the walk-off by Altuve.
Oh, that's right.
He said they're one swing away from walking this off, and literally 2 seconds later they're walking it off.
To be fair, a lot of Yankees fans called the walk-off by Altuve, too. They'd seen that movie before.
Yes. All right.
When a guy has already walked you off twice before, it starts to be deja vu.
All right, let's crank this thing out here, the circle of trust. Chaz
McCoy. Like a sex act.
Chaz, let's crank out this circle of trust.
No, it's getting walked off.
Chaz McCormick, is he still in
McCormick.
The Mariznick Memorial spot?
Yeah, Chaz McCormick, hold on, let me pull you up his stats for just strictly the month of July. Let's see, batting average .348, slugging .609, OPS of 1.016. Yeah, circle of trust.
Circle of trust. All right, Lance McCullers, yes. Zach Greinke.
Sure.
Hey, this is where the conversation gets difficult, or maybe not.
I know.
Framber Valdez.
Framber is there for me.
He's there for you?
Because I think, I'm not feeling awesome about it.
Yeah.
But I think this is what pitchers go through in a long season. The thing I'm worried about is that it's been 4 performances in a row where he has not been at his peak Framber.
Yeah.
I thought he showed signs of improvement coming back after the All-Star break. This next one is crucial. Like, I need to have I need to have a vintage Framber performance for him to be thoroughly cemented in the
system. Seth has him on probation right now, pretty much. Yeah. He's in, but it's one more start. Seth, I don't get that same feeling, and I'm as big a Framber honk as there's been. I was saying 2 weeks ago he should start game one of a playoff series, but I just don't get that feeling right now. And for the first time in a while, we may have to go to Ben Gary, our producer, to break the tie.
He's a Framber
hater. I'm leaving him in.
Noted Framber hater. Yeah.
No, he's leaving, him in. He's leaving him in.
Oh, okay.
He's leaving him in.
All right. I'm going with Seth here.
Okay, all right.
Having faith.
Okay. He's a Framber hater, but he loves him some Seth.
That's the sense that I get.
That's true. Yeah.
So Ben Gary, the tiebreaker, says that Framber's still in. All right, Luis Garcia in. Ryan Presley in. The three that we added last time, is Miles Straw still in the circle of trust?
Straw's still in the circle of trust. Okay. It's with Luis Garcia, the thing that I'm starting to worry about is the fact that they're going to have to manage his pitch count or his innings count over the course of the second half of the season. And it's almost like he might be at a point where no matter what he does, I'm still going to be nervous about him.
Yep.
So we'll have to monitor him very carefully over these next several weeks.
Okay, before we left on vacation, Urquidy was in the circle of trust. He's got to be out by definition right now because Bregman's out of it because he's hurt. When you're not hurt, you're inherently outside the circle of trust. So Urquidy's got to be out. So we're going to move him out. And Seth, the last one. Last time we did this exercise, we put Christian Javier in the circle of trust.
Didn't we? That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Is he still in the circle of trust? Boy, he sure does get behind a lot of hitters. It feels like Christian Javier, you chalk it up that he's down 2-0 in the count to every single hitter he faces.
But then he does a great job of working his way out
of it. He does. That was a turning point.
For working his way out of it?
Yeah,
He lets people, he's the best kind of, you know what, Sean? He's
hospitable.
The best kind of assassin.
Yeah.
He lets people get comfortable.
Yeah.
He lets people think like, oh, all right, I like this. This young Soviet lady must be into me for be interested in me and not my national secrets.
Right.
And then, bam, all of a sudden, you're assassinated and you've given up the nuclear codes.
That's right.
That's what he does for you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
I feel like now I can't trust you with state secrets, Sean.
That's an interesting extrapolation of the Astros circle of trust. I'll leave him in. There was a big turning point last night when I forget who the hitter was, but he got down 3-0 and came back and struck the guy out. That was huge. It was the inning. I can't remember if it was the sixth or seventh inning, but I'll leave Javier in for right now. So really, the only change to the circle of trust, Seth, is that we moved Jose Urquidy out because he's had injury issues. Other than that, it all remains the same.
You look at in his last six appearances, Urquidy's let up 3 earned runs, but it's I mean 3 of his last 4 has allowed no earned runs. Circle of trust.
Urquidy, it's about medical.
Javier. Yeah, Javier. Did I say Urquidy?
Yeah,
Javier.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Javier. Yeah, Javier's still in. All right. So there you go. Correa. Here's the circle of trust, people. Correa, Altuve, Yuli, Yordan, Uncle Mike, Tucker, Maldonado, Chazzy Mack, Lance, Greinke, Framber. Barely Framber. That had to go to a tiebreaker. Garcia, Presley, Straw, and Javier.
The interesting thing about Javier, just looking at back over his last couple months, really, is that I think the notion of keeping him stretched out as a potential starter, they have not worried about that one bit.
Mm-mm.
He's only gone longer than 2 innings once in the last 8 appearances. I mean, he's a reliever now. He's like your pure bona fide a reliever who can be stretched out a little bit.
Yep.
But he's more of just a reliever.
He is a bridge reliever. There's
no doubt.
I miss
you starting Javier.
Well, you may get him back someday. We'll see. All right. The Texans are at the bottom of the 3-year projection on ESPN. They are projected to be the worst team in football over the next 3 years. Does it really mean anything? We'll go back to 2018 next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.